What's going on, guys? Welcome back to another episode of Down to the Wire. We had a lot happen this past weekend. Craziness and insanity everywhere, especially in Knoxville, Tennessee. I don't know if they're done partying yet, Mason. But man, what's your reaction to what happened?
I decided to crawl weekend out from under my rock and come in and face the backlash of my Alabama by 100 prediction.
Obviously, it didn't pan out. It didn't age well, did it?
It didn't age well. But yeah, I'm here. I'm alive, and I'm still kicking. We're good.
Well, listen, we're going to talk a lot more, I'm sure, about this Alabama-Tennessee game that happened. Classic game. I mean, it was a great game, back and forth the whole way. We're going to get into that. We're also going to get into a lot of other games that happened this past weekend. LSU Florida went down pretty close to the wire somewhat. I mean, we'll get into that one. It seemed like storm fielding happened like all throughout the country. You had it over at Utah playing USC. Obviously, Tennessee and Alabama. I feel like there was another one too. I think TCU stormed the field after they won. Maybe I don't know. I don't remember. I know there was a couple others that did have field storming. So it was literally everywhere. Insanity all across college football. And it was a lot of fun, man. So we're going to get into that. We have our second week of our own rankings coming out this week, guys. Some movement up at the top that happened. We also had a couple more people send in their top 25. So, hey, if you can't do anything else, do this. Send us your top 25. I'm going to ask for it on social media on Sundays. So you know what? You have until typically a Tuesday night to get those to us. We'd love to have that interaction. Even if you can just give us 10. If you can give us your top 10 at least, that would be awesome that we can have that with you and build our community. You have our own poll that we're going to stack up against the rest of the country. There is no more AP poll. There is only the Down to the Wire poll moving forward, guys. So love to get your interaction on there. We'll talk that. We're also going to get into a little playoff talk. We're about 2 weeks away from the first college football rankings coming out. We're going to give us some of our thoughts on what we think is going to happen, some early predictions on playoff and some dark horses there. We'll talk about that, of course, once we get there. And then, of course, we're going to finish up like we always do. We're going to finish up with our fantasy lineups, how it went this past weekend, what we're going to look to moving forward, and then we're going to get into our picks. And just as a little preview, my picks were absolutely horrible last weekend. So we're going to get into how bad I did last week and more once we get then to the end. So sit back to relax, sip your favorite drink. If you're working, hopefully it's not alcoholic, but I'm not sitting here to judge. Okay. It's 5 o'clock somewhere. If you pour a little Bailey's in your coffee, I'm not going to judge you. You do you, man. So let's get into it, Mason. Let's talk. And again, I think we're going to save Alabama, Tennessee to the very end of this segment. So let's get into some other games that happened this week. Let's talk about a blowout that happened that I think we were all kind of surprised about with Michigan and Penn State. Okay, this was a top 10 matchup in our rankings from last week. Again, our rankings last week, we had Penn State at 9 and Michigan at 6, only separated by 5 total points in the votes. So we thought this was going to be a really good game. What did you think about this one? I mean, Michigan just like, basically Michigan could do whatever they wanted. They ran the ball and Penn State couldn't stop them and Penn State couldn't do anything. Well, I mean, what's your thoughts on that, man?
Yeah, I think the exciting part about this game is you finally got to see Michigan against an actual opponent. They've kind of been going against some scrubs lately, but I mean, like you were saying, they were able to do basically anything that they wanted. I mean, you have Corum going for 166 and then their backup Edwards going for 173 on the ground. Like they were just basically enforcing their will. The thing I was worried about with Michigan going into the season was that they didn't have much of a passing game, and they showed today that they didn't even need one. Or they showed on Saturday they didn't even need one, and basically just ran away with it.
Yeah, man, and it wasn't even close. I mean, you look at halftime, and Penn State was close. They were only down 2 at half, but they had 2 fluke plays, man, that you just like can't rely on. I think they had 1 first down in the whole first half, and they scored 2 points. They had a huge run by Clifford towards kind of the end, and then had a pick six, I believe it was, or a fumble recovery for a touchdown, some sort of turnover return for a touchdown as their second score. While Michigan was basically controlling the whole game in that first half, still went into half up 2. And then, like, they just ran away with it, like you said, man. I mean, they had both their running backs go for over 100 yards, 150 yards. Their quarterback, J.J. McCarthy, really didn't have to do much. I mean, he only threw it, what, 17 times, passed for 145 yards. The real story, I think, in this game, or I guess the two stories in the game, is one, Michigan's defense completely shut down Penn State. It wasn't even close. They couldn't move the ball whatsoever. And that's honestly embarrassing for a Penn State program that you're top 10 in the AP, top 10 in our poll. You go on the road for your first really big test in conference and you come out with a performance like that. That's just not acceptable for a program, at least to me, at a program like that. So that's super disappointing. And then two, your own defense couldn't even stop the run and force Michigan to throw to win the game, which I feel like should be the playbook and should be the way that defenses defend them right now, is to force this young quarterback to beat you. Penn State couldn't even do that, and they got ran all over. I was shocked. I mean, I was cutting grass this past weekend, and so I was listening to it. I didn't watch it, but I was listening. And, like, the whole first half, I mean, Michigan scored two field goals in the first quarter, could have easily been two touchdowns. I mean, this could have easily been a, you know, 24-14 or 24-7 halftime score with the game over. Because, I mean, that's how it felt. It honestly felt like Michigan was running away with the game in the first half. And then the two plays by Penn State happened, and you're like, whoa, what's going to happen? I mean, maybe Penn State's coming back. I mean, they had two huge momentum plays that got them points. And then Michigan put the clampers on them again, and they just couldn't move the ball, man. I mean, it was really bad.
Back in the preseason, I was a Penn State hater when you threw that question at me. And I think this game is kind of proving what I thought about Penn State. Like, I was not a believer in Sean Clifford, and it kind of like came to fruition this week because he threw for 120 yards, man. If you're only throwing for 120 yards, you got to do something on the ground. And obviously he had the one long run. Total, he had 74 rushing yards. So on top of that, you take 60 away from him and he's only running for 14 yards. Like, that's just a terrible game. You can't do that and still be successful in the Big Ten. And so the Sean Clifford problem was the problem that I had with them going into the season this year. And it's all coming together now.
Yeah, man, for sure. I mean, they didn't turn the ball over, but for the full game, they had 10 first downs. 10 first downs for the whole game. They went 4 for 12 on third down and 1 for 4 on fourth down. They only, for total yards of offense, they had 268 yards of total offense in this game. That's really bad. You didn't turn the ball over. Michigan, looking at the time of possession, Michigan had the ball for over 41 minutes. Almost, like, they were 4 seconds away from having the ball for 42 minutes in this game. Penn State had the ball for 18 minutes the whole game. And that's all they had. The rushing stats for them, they ran for 111 yards, which for 22 carries, which shows us 5 yards a carry. But I mean, like, a lot of that was a chunk play by Sean Clifford, was that one run by him. You take that away, they hardly did anything else after that. And I mean, it was really, really, really bad. I mean, total yards for Michigan, 563 total yards for Michigan, set 11 for 17 on third down, and rushing the ball, they ran for 418 yards, and that came out to, they ran it 55 times, by the way, and that comes out to 7.6 yards a carry.
That's insane. Like,
there's one other game that was very much like this. The score was a lot closer, but there's another game that we're going to get to that was like this, where another team just ran all over them. But That was a, and I'm talking about Ole Miss Auburn. This is a top 10 Ole Miss team going up against a horrible Auburn team. You kind of maybe expect to see that. You don't expect to see something like this lopsided in a top 10 matchup between Michigan and Penn State. You just don't, you don't expect to see that. And when you do, there's a couple of questions you ask yourself. Is this a, hey, Penn State either played horrible or they're not as good as we thought they were? Or is Michigan just that good, or they just played a really good game? Like it's a mix of both, but I think I'm coming away with this more on the Michigan is really good and Penn State isn't nearly what we thought they were.
Yeah, I agree. I do think that Michigan is really good this year, but nothing in that game showed me that they could beat Ohio State, to be honest with you. Because when they go up against Ohio State, they're going to have to throw the ball. They're not going to be able to run like that. And they're going to have to throw to keep up with Ohio State, to be honest with you. So I still think that Michigan is good, but they got some improving to do until they get to Ohio State.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, they definitely have improving to do. They definitely need to show a passing game. If I'm a Michigan fan, I want to see J.J. McCarthy be able to pass the ball efficiently and be able to win with his arm. Because whenever you get to this Ohio State game, you're going to have to pass the ball. Like, they're going to stack the box and try and beat them, and we're going to have to wait and see. So that was one game. Again, that was a huge shock to both of us, I think, the outcome of that one. But kudos to Michigan. Before we move on, or before we get into more games on Saturday, let's kind of go back and let's talk about the Thursday night game that was really, really good. West Virginia and Baylor. This was a great game. Baylor played really well. Sucks for them. Their starting quarterback, Blake Shapen, gets knocked out of the game from a targeting call. And they kind of had their steam kind of going on, but as the game went along and as the pressure is mounting on their backup quarterback, you could see, man, the guy just wasn't ready, and he was the backup for a reason. West Virginia wins at home, probably saves Neil Brown's job for at least another week by winning 43-40. Mason, you watched the game, right? Like, did you watch this one, or was it just me?
It was just you.
It was just me? Okay. Well, I thought it was a fantastic game, man. It was a lot of fun to see.
This has been the frustrating part about West Virginia, right, this year. Like, yeah. Their offense has been awesome, but they still have, what, 3 losses on the season? Yeah. Like, they've just been so inconsistent. It's insane.
Yeah, and I mean, we go back to week one for them when they played Pitt. Like, they are that dropped pass away from winning that game. I mean, it's just, yeah. I think it's been for them. And then they were up big on Kansas the week following, I believe, or 2 weeks after that. And then they give up a big lead and lose to Kansas. Those are two games that they, if you ask anybody, they should have won those games. And so you go from possibly being, after this game, possibly being what, 5-1? And instead you're 3-3. That's a huge difference on a couple of swing plays there. So, but you got to feel good for West Virginia after, as well as they played on offense. They finally come out, kind of put it together. Defense held up as much as they could, and they find a way to win at home against a good Baylor team. I mean, the Baylor's no slouch. So that was a fun game to watch. Let's go on. And you know what? Let's talk Auburn-Ole Miss. Auburn-Ole Miss was a game. Ole Miss ran out to a huge lead in the first half, and then maybe either they took their foot off the gas or Auburn just, you know, kind of bowed up a little bit and then made it a game. And this was another one of those where Ole Miss had 3 players rush for over 100 yards, one of them being their quarterback, ran all over Auburn. Auburn just can't stop the run, and it cost them here. What did you think on the Auburn-Ole Miss game?
When's the last time a Lane Kiffin-led team was basically a running offense? That's something that's been crazy to me, because Lane Kiffin's always been known as this just high-powered speed throwing passing offense, and now he's just running like crazy. But, I mean, it was nice. Like, Ole Miss's offense hasn't really been showing a lot this season so far, and so it was nice to see them peeking through. I'm a little bit more of an Ole Miss believer than you are, unfortunately. So, yeah, but, I mean, what's more surprising – that Lane Kiffin has 3 guys going over 100 yards, or the fact that it's 9:45 Eastern time on a Monday and Brian Harsin is still the coach of Auburn?
Yeah, I think it's more surprising that Brian Harsin still has a job at this point. I mean, if you're not going to fire him now, I mean, I guess you might as well just wait to the end of the season, because
just roll with it.
just roll with it. I mean, what else do you have to lose? You're probably going to lose out anyways. But yeah, man, I mean, both teams were able to run the ball extremely well. I mean, we're talking about Ole Miss, and if you listen to the national media or anybody that is talking about this game, everybody's just talking Ole Miss ran the ball for over 400 yards and 3 players for over 100 yards. Auburn ran for 301 yards, dude. Like, Auburn was able to run at will against this team as well. And so I think and the thing that beat Auburn is, again, the turnovers, the mistakes. They turned the ball over 3 times. They threw 2 interceptions. Robbie Ashford got benched midway through the game and then came back and played a lot better. But, I mean, both teams just committed to running the ball, and I think Auburn was maybe a little late to do that because, I mean, this Ole Miss defense can be scored on and can have the ball moved on them. And so It just kind of surprised me that it took a little longer for Auburn to get going, but they did, and they made it a game, and they just couldn't get the stops when they needed to at the end, which comes along with what you were talking about in the offseason. Auburn is pretty good with their first strings, but then you get into the depth issues, and that's when you really kind of see it in the second half, and especially in the fourth quarter. When they need stops on defense, they can't get it because they're gassed.
Yeah, for sure. And, I mean, Auburn's weird in this, in the way that you were just saying, because it feels like they have the formula that they need with Ashford, because he's been a great running quarterback, but they're almost getting ahead of themselves and trying to force him into plays and passing situations that he just can't do, honestly. Yeah. So it, like you said, like they found the formula that's working for them, but they're not dedicating themselves to it, and they're not just going for it and saying, hey, we're gonna run on you, stop it if you can. Let's go. Because, I mean, Tank Bigsby, like we were saying a couple weeks ago, is still their best player. So you need to be getting that guy touches. And you have a dynamic quarterback like Ashford that can run on the ground like he can. You just got to go for it. You can't just keep committing. Or you can't be stuck in the middle, is basically what I'm trying to say. And it's what they've been doing.
Yeah, I mean, they're two. I mean, you just mentioned Tank Bigsby. I would even argue their second best player is their backup running back, Jarquez Hunter.
Oh, yeah.
Their two running backs are the best parts of their team, or at least on offense. Two best players. And then you have a dynamic running quarterback. And like you said, it seems like Auburn, since Robbie Ashford has been inserted, they're trying to fit a square peg in a round hole. They're not changing the offense to take advantage of his strengths. Listen, to me, I'm a sucker for triple option football. I love that stuff. Like, I would run that all the time. Spread, triple option, spread option type stuff. I think I'm a sucker for that. I think that's just so fascinating to watch personally. But that would fit this offense perfectly. Honestly, you have a quarterback who can run like a gazelle. You have two running backs that can pound it and even bounce it to the outside if you need to. And then you have decent amount of wide receiver talent to at least be able to take maybe a top and take a shot. Have a couple guys. You don't have to play tons of wideouts if you don't need to, because they don't have a ton of depth there. And you have a decent tight end. So why are we not changing the offense? And again, this goes back to coaching. Why aren't we changing the offense to take advantage of our player strengths? And you found it running the ball. Why don't we add some things? Why don't we add more option? Why don't we add more power stuff? Why don't we add some more swing motion and maybe take advantage of the edges with our running backs? Let's take advantage of our talent that we have and do that. And again, it just, they maybe found the formula now, but I mean, it's a little too late in the season. You had a whole, you know, first 5 weeks at home to figure all that stuff out. It ain't time at week six, midway through the year, to now startly be finding that out. When you don't have a super strong offensive line and you don't have a super strong thrower at quarterback, whether it was Robbie Ashford or even TJ Finley. So, again, we're probably speaking to the choir for all these Auburn fans being super frustrated. But, I mean, it's just, you got, whenever you have a talent deficiency like Auburn has, you got to find creative ways to at least be somewhat explosive and threatening on offense. And it just took this long to do it. And again, it's against not a great Ole Miss defense, but still, you run for 300 yards on anybody in the SEC. That's impressive.
Doesn't it feel like Ashford is the perfect Gus Malzahn quarterback?
Oh, he definitely is. He for sure is. He absolutely like he just is.
Perfectly fits that Nick Marshall mold. And like you said, like they need the explosive plays, and that's what they were known for with Nick Marshall, was just crazy downfield throws and then also running it like crazy.
Yes. Yeah, so speaking of old Gus Malzahn, UCF scored a 70 bomb on Thursday night, 70-13 against Temple. And John Rice Plumlee, does that name sound familiar? Used to be at Ole Miss quarterback and then turned wide receiver as a quarterback at UCF. He threw for 373 yards and four touchdowns, dude. Like, Gus Malzahn just running up the score over here in UCF. They're 5-1.
I think they miss Gus yet.
I don't know. I haven't even thought to ask that question. Haven't even thought. And now I think I'm going to ask a couple of people, hey, you miss Gus yet? I mean,
I guarantee you they do. This is it's gross watching Auburn right now. It's not, it really is. It's not fun. It was at least fun to watch them when Gus was there.
Because you had no idea what was going to happen. Is it going to be good Gus? Is it going to be bad Gus? It was usually good Gus against Bama, so at least you had that.
It was always good Gus against Bama. That's why he kept getting bigger contracts, because he'd beat Nick Saban every other year. And then they would just be like, oh, here's 3 more years to your contract. Let's go.
Hey, we're going to fire you. Hey, we're going to – oh, you beat Bama? Instead of firing you, we're going to give you a contract extension and a raise. Yeah.
Gosh, what a guy.
What a guy, man. Okay, let's move on to a couple others. Kentucky and Mississippi State. Like, I don't think I can get my head around what to think about Mississippi State this year. Like, are they just like a home like team? And then they just like shrivel up and don't know what to do with themselves as soon as they get on a plane or a bus to go somewhere to play. Like, what the heck? Like, you go from looking great at home against Texas A&M and against Arkansas to looking like inept on the road at Kentucky. Like, what the heck am I supposed to think about this team?
I think the simple answer is that this is just a stereotypical Mississippi State team. Like, Mississippi State has never been great. They've never been bad. They've just always been dead right in the middle.
Oh, they've been bad.
They've been bad. Yeah, give or take. Like, they're just right there in the middle. Like, could they beat Alabama next week? No, I'm going to say no.
No. But,
like, they could go and, like, make it a good game and then turn around the next week and just get murdered. But who knows? That's just what Mississippi State is right now.
It's like they give all their fans like this sliver of hope the past couple of weeks. Yeah. Oh man, we can be really good. Like, we're going for New Year's Six Bowls. We maybe could contend Alabama in the West and have a really good game. And then they go on the road to Lexington and pee down their leg and lose by 10 against a not great Kentucky team. Like,
exactly.
Like, it's just like, I don't know how you can be a Mississippi State fan at this point. Like, how, like, you put yourself through this. It seems every year this happens. Every year.
It's for the Cowbells, man.
It's for the Cowbells. We need more Cowbells. It's just, man, they just fooled us. At least they fooled me. I don't know if they fooled you, but they sure as heck fooled me. 2 road games in the SEC, and both of them, they just get beat down in both of them against LSU and against Kentucky. And
well, here's the thing. They're gonna rope you back in here in a couple of weeks. I'm sure they're going to go and beat somebody else, and I probably murder them at that point. And then the next week, it's just going to flop. It's going to happen again. I guarantee you, in a couple of weeks, you're going to be like, okay, Mississippi State, I was right. We're back. And then it's just going to fall off again.
Okay, so let's talk Mississippi State schedule then. Let's talk about it. Okay, we got Alabama next on the road at Bama. Okay, Bama coming off the loss against Tennessee. Yeah. I think we're both – I mean, that's definitely a loss for Mississippi State, okay? For me, it's Mississippi State sucks on the road. They're going to get beat by Bama. So they have that. Then they have an off week. They get to recover after having back-to-back road losses after that. Then they play Auburn at home. I think we both think that's probably a win, right?
Yeah, I would say win.
Okay. And then next, this, if they're going to pull off an upset, I think this is the one out of the 3 top 10 teams they have left on their schedule, which is Bama, Georgia, Ole Miss. Georgia is the only one that's coming to Stark Vegas. So you have after the Auburn game, after a bye week and a get right game probably against Auburn, you bring in Georgia. Okay. And Georgia, just for reference, Georgia is going to be coming off of a couple of hard games, I believe. They play Florida. They have this week off. Then they play Florida, and then they play Tennessee at home and then go on the road to Mississippi State. So this is in the middle of their rough 4-game stretch of Florida, Tennessee, State, Kentucky. So Mississippi State maybe pull off an upset against a hurting Georgia maybe at that point.
That's where they rope you back in.
That's where they would rope you back in. That's where it would happen right there, is that game against Georgia. And then they get their easy throw up game against East Tennessee State. And then they have the Egg Bowl, which is on the road against Ole Miss. So they have the potential of, I think the best case scenario finish out for them is what, 2-3 is worst case for them. Best case, maybe 3-2. I mean, I can't see them winning 2 between Alabama, Georgia, Ole Miss. If they do, I don't know if I would give them a better chance of beating Ole Miss or Georgia. I think they have absolutely no shot this week. No shot against
Bama. You know what's unfortunate for them? This is 2 years in a row that they've had Bama after a loss.
That's pretty unfortunate.
It was Bama at Mississippi State last year after they had just lost to Texas A&M, and they hung 50 on them, and now they're getting them again after Tennessee. It's just a really bad loss.
It really is. Poor old Mississippi State. So, I guess, do you think they have the better shot of beating Georgia at home or Ole Miss on the road? As we sit here now.
As we sit here now, I would probably say Ole Miss on the road. Weirdly enough, even though I don't think Mississippi State has obviously not been a good road team. I just don't see them being able to compete with Georgia.
The only reason I would say Georgia is just because of the stretch that Georgia's about to be on. They're about to play Florida, which Florida's going to come out. And I mean, they're tough, and Anthony Richardson is like Superman or something. And then like they're going to be playing against Tennessee, which is for the East.
So that's kind of where I'm at right now, is because I really honestly don't know if Georgia's going to beat Tennessee. From what I watched this weekend, I think Tennessee is going to beat Georgia. And if you're Georgia, you can't turn around and lose Mississippi State. Like you're not laying a dud at that point. So I think that would be my worry for Mississippi State, is that you're getting a motivated Georgia team at that point. So you're basically like kind of screwed.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I'm right there with you. I think Tennessee would beat Georgia too. And we'll get into a little bit more there. So that's what we think, Mississippi State. It's shaky, guys. It's shaky. But there might be a little hope. I don't think there's any hope for you this weekend. But, hey, maybe in a couple of weeks there could be something where you might really reel us back in. Oklahoma-Kansas. Again, this is one that we kind of talked about in our pits last week that, hey, Vegas must know something with Oklahoma being a 9-point favorite. They did, because Dylan Gabriel is back, and I should have known better. And Kansas is playing with their backup quarterback, which you really kind of saw. So they win by 10. They cover just by a point, just by the skin there. What do you think about Oklahoma finally getting back in the win column against Kansas? Our beloved Kansas Jayhawks.
Yeah, RIP to them now too. So do you think this is the past 2 weeks, obviously, Texas and who was it last week that they got smoked
they
by?
Got or the week by before they that, got TCU? Smoked by Texas, and then the week before that they got smoked, or they got beat by TCU, and the week before that they got beat by Kansas State.
So do you think this has just been a Dylan Gabriel problem? I mean, really,
no, because Dylan Gabriel was there at Kansas. Did he play against TCU?
I think he got hurt in TCU.
He did get hurt like first quarter, I think. Yeah, so he did play.
I think it was early, like first, second quarter, he got hurt. He got the concussion. But we were hating on Oklahoma, obviously, and deservedly so. I mean, you get blown out like that in two straight games. You deserve some hate at that point. But I want to walk it back just a little bit because of Dylan Gabriel. Like, he came out and he balled out this week. He was balling out in the first couple games. So I don't know if their problems were completely solved now that Dylan Gabriel's back, but
it's definitely not completely solved. I mean, they're a lot better. I mean, yeah, I think the Texas game is obviously a lot closer if they have Dylan Gabriel, sure. But I mean, if we look at the rest of the schedule, I think they really had a lot of the tougher Big 12 teams at the beginning. Now, I mean, they have Iowa State on the road at Iowa State Names. Iowa State can't really score. They kept it close against Texas, but I mean, they still can't really score. They can't run the ball. And then you play Baylor, and Baylor doesn't look as good anymore. I mean, they've lost three games. They go on the road to West Virginia. I think for Oklahoma, I think you can expect to lose maybe two games the rest of the way. And if you lose more, then, I mean, you keep the freak out button. Because, I mean, the rest of the way, they go to Iowa State. They have Baylor at home. They go to West Virginia. They have Oklahoma State at home. And they finish the regular season at Texas Tech. So the two games that I'm going to say, hey, you need to be very careful on is at West Virginia and then at home against Oklahoma State. Those are the two games that losing, because I think they can beat all the other ones. But if you lose those two, how good are you feeling about a 5-loss season, a 7-5 season? I mean, we're talking about Oklahoma, which has been a preseason favorite for the Big 12 for as long as I can remember, really. And first year under Brent Venables, you lose five games. I mean, Dylan Gabriel is going to fix you and help you win the next couple, but I mean, it obviously doesn't fix your season because the defense is still a mess.
Yeah, for sure.
So Kansas loses. I think Kansas is now kind of learning. They got, I think they need one more win to get bowl eligible, I think is what I saw, right? One more win?
Let's do it. Let's do it, Kansas.
They need one win.
Have they ever been bowl eligible ever?
Listen, let's not get sure let's not get that ever. High. I mean, come on. I remember they made it to the Orange Bowl in 07, man. Come on. But
it seems like a fluke. I think you're making it up.
It's gonna be rough though, man. Here's the remaining schedule, okay? They go to Baylor this week. Then they host Oklahoma State. They go to Texas Tech. They host Texas. They finish at Kansas State.
That's not looking great.
It's not looking good. The only options that I think you have to win are both on the road. It's at Baylor and at Texas Tech are your only options to make it bowl eligible. And those are going to be some rough ones to try and win on, man. So.
And this Baylor coming off a bad loss.
Baylor's too. Coming off a loss, and it was on Thursday, so they have a couple extra days rest. Kansas, you had your.
All we can do is cross our fingers, Cam. We believe Kansas.
We believe, man. Oh my gosh, you gotta hope. Let's talk about another team. Hey, let's talk about your 10-2, or I'm sorry, your 3-loss right now, Arkansas Razorbacks. They get back in the win column with KJ Jefferson, and apparently they said, "Oh, hey, we're good again," and drumming BYU on the road, dude.
This was the team that I was talking about all offseason, Cam. This is the Arkansas Razorbacks that I know and love. This is the 10-2 version, not the 5-5 version. I mean, good Lord. But I mean, Mike, what are we doing? You could have been doing this all freaking season, but now you just decided to lay 3 eggs in a row. And now here we go. Now I have to celebrate
this,
you beating
BYU. This is your Mississippi State factor right here. They're reeling you back in.
They wrote me back in. I'm back in. KJ Jefferson, he's got me.
KJ Jefferson right for Heisman? Right is that where we're going?
Hey, that's what I'm talking about. Say that louder. People in the back can't hear you.
Okay, we'll talk about 2 more games, maybe 3 more games, and then we'll get into the meat and potatoes of this episode, I think. Utah wins a thriller against USC on the road. That's a field storming game, 43-42. USC Trojans maybe out of the playoff hunt now after that loss on the road. What'd you think about that one?
I think that was a heartbreaker for the Pac-12, to be honest with you, because like you just said, to me, that just knocks them
There's
out.
Only one hope now. I mean,
You have UCLA, but is that really a hope? I mean, they've been good this year, but
we'll find out how good they are. But yeah, I feel you there.
But this is the problem with USC, the defense. I mean, they looked horrible. You gave up 40-something points to Utah. That was pretty rough.
Yep. Yeah. And 234 passing yards just to Dalton Kincaid, their tight end.
Ooh.
Oof. Syracuse beats NC State. Didn't realize NC State did not have their quarterback is out. I think done for the year.
He's out for the year.
Yeah, so he's done. Yep, Syracuse undefeated. We haven't even talked much about Syracuse, and they're 6-0 right now, man. They went 24-9, pretty impressive there. And they going on the road to Clemson this week. So
I don't even know what to say about Syracuse. I haven't watched much of them this year.
I watched a little bit of
them. I don't even think I thought.
Listen, their starting quarterback is Garrett Schrader. You know who that is?
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's the freaking guy at Mississippi State, and was, again, this is another like former SEC quarterback and then moved to wide receiver, transfers and comes back to a quarterback spot like we talked about with Plumlee. But hey, he's doing pretty good. And then, I mean, they have a really good running back in Tucker, and apparently their defense is pretty good. I've watched a little bit of them, probably watch a good bit of them and see how they do against Clemson this coming week.
Hey, this is their test.
This is their test. We'll see how for real they are, because, I mean, you're playing Clemson, and Clemson is the class of the ACC, as we have learned, after they beat down Florida State. Score was not reflective of how dominant of a performance that was, but they took care of business against Florida State on the road, which I think is really impressive. I mean, you play some really tough teams and then finish the stretch on the road against Florida State. I mean, I'm a believer in Clemson now, I think.
Do you feel like DJ has redeemed himself from last year?
He absolutely has. I mean, he's exactly, what everybody – I don't know if he's what they expected last year, because last year they were expecting, like, Heisman front runner. But like, he's like a step below that. Like, he's a very solid quarterback now, and showing what the recruiting people thought whenever he was coming out, and he's showing it now.
Yeah, no, I agree. This is kind of what I was expecting coming into the season for him, because I feel like last year he just got way too much hype. I mean, you have like the Heisman hype that you were talking about. You have the Dr. Pepper commercial hype. Like, he was looked at as the next Trevor Lawrence when that just wasn't realistic at all. So I think what you're getting from him this year is exactly what you should have expected last year. So I think he's been a lot better for
sure. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, he's been really impressive. And you know what? He's a reason why they are where they're at right now. If he's not what he's been this year, I mean, you can probably put at least one, maybe even two losses on the schedule for him. I mean, definitely Wake Forest. I mean, if he doesn't play as well as he's been playing, they lose to Wake Forest. And that Wake Forest team is a really good football team. So, Clemson definitely for real and definitely contender, especially with DJ playing as well as he has. And I think he's just getting better every week, you know? I mean, he just keeps improving. So, and here's the thing about Clemson that I'll say. It seems like Dabo just has a way of getting Clemson to play their best ball towards the end of the season. So they always seem to be climbing up, and they seem to be doing that right now. And by the end of the season, the conference championship weekend, I don't know how many teams are going to want to play them.
Yeah, I agree.
And then last two games that we'll talk quickly. Iowa State keeps it really close against Texas. Texas squeaks out 24-21. Huge week after they blow out Oklahoma, which they finally get the monkey off their back winning that game. And you could probably see maybe a look ahead spot because they're playing on the road at Oklahoma State. And they found a way to win, which I think if you're a Texas fan, this is what you want to see. They didn't play their best ball and they still found a way to win. And that's what you want to see as your team is constantly improving. Which what they have been doing. So they're not the same team like they were last year where something went wrong and then they just fell apart the rest of the year. It didn't go right for them all year. I mean, they lost to Alabama after losing Quinn Ewers by a point, and they lose in overtime to Texas Tech. If that's the team last year, they probably lose to West Virginia, probably lose to Oklahoma, or probably lose to Iowa State, beat Oklahoma. But, I mean, these kind of games that you see, they don't win these games last year or even in the past. And they won it this time, and that's what you really like to see if you're a Texas fan.
Yeah, like you're saying, their offense has just been awesome with Quinn Ewers so far. And so for them to go in and actually win this game ugly, that's really – it makes you feel good, like you were saying, as a Texas fan. So I like what they got going on right now.
Yeah, so kudos to them. And then last game that we're going to talk about before we talk about the biggest one, LSU goes on the road to the Swamp and pulls out a victory against Florida. I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it, man. And listen, this is the JT Daniels that all LSU fans have been clamoring for. He finally passes the ball. It finally looks like he's more comfortable in the pocket, making throws, and giving his wide receivers a chance at the ball. I mean, there was two 50-50 balls by Brian Thomas. Both of them reviewed. The touchdown stud, the other one didn't. Whatever about that. But throw it up to that guy, he's going to make a play. You're able to get an offside call. Let's take a shot because it's a free play. Ends up being a touchdown. You get Kayshon Booty involved. He goes for over 100 yards, and it just opens up the offense. The defense played pretty well. Another two special teams blunders. The kickoff, you give them up, and then you drop a punt. Not really much you can do about a player dropping a punt when he's your most reliable guy, best hands on the team guy in Jack Besh, but gave him 14 points really just off special teams based on field position. You feel really good about it. I thought it was a great team win on the road as a really good bounce back after getting drugged at home. And now we really get to see what they're talking about playing Ole Miss this week. Did you get to watch the game at all? And what were your thoughts?
I got to watch the first quarter. I really didn't get to watch a whole lot of it. This is a really good win because this is one of the toss up games that I felt like LSU had this year. So, like, winning this game, it puts you in a better direction going towards the end of the season for your record-wise than it does, obviously, if you lose, you're not feeling great about it because it's Florida. So, like, I feel good about what LSU is doing right now. Hopefully, we'll see what happens against Ole Miss.
I think it's going to be a really good game this weekend. I think it's going to be too. I think it's going to be a great game.
Prime time, dude.
Let's go. Night game in Tiger Stadium at a top 10 opponent. We couldn't get it a couple weeks ago. We're freaking getting it now, baby. Let's go. All right. Now let's move on to think the game that everybody wants my and your opinion on. I think I'll go a little first, and then we'll probably bounce off each other after you go. Alabama, Tennessee. I don't know what else to say other than I called it. Okay, I called it. I said it didn't matter if Bryce Young was going to play. Tennessee is going to win, and it was an instant classic. I mean, 52-49 winning on a last-second field goal. All the fans rushing on the field. I love it. It was just a great game. I mean, I don't know what else to say about it. Bama, again, with the struggles they've had the past couple of year, roll their ugly head again. Kate getting penalties, and we can talk about officiating if you really want to, but that's not the reason why you lost. You keep doing these bonehead penalties, and like you just don't play well on the road. You slow starting out, and this time it hurts you. And when you turn the ball over, when you do stupid mistakes and penalties, when you're already kind of struggling on the road, and you play a team like this, I mean, the defense got abused. The defense, when you look statistically, was one of the best scoring defenses, all of this in the country. The reason for that is the two shutouts against the crappy teams you played. You finally went up against a legit offense, and they exposed you. And I think the thing that surprised me the most in the game, in the whole game, was just how little of an impact the edge rushers for Bama had. Will Anderson maybe had a play or two, and Dallas Turner obviously had the fumble recovery for a touchdown, maybe a couple pressures. Other than that, Tennessee kept Hendon Hooker upright. He was able to escape the pocket and get yards whenever he needed to, and they were able to run the ball on Alabama when they really needed to. I mean, we look at the stats here. Everybody loves to talk about Tennessee with their passing offense. I mean, Tennessee ran for 182 yards in this game. 182. That's 4.7 yards per carry. And they were 50% on third down. So it was just a really good performance. And again, they exposed Bama's defense. And I mean, Bama's offense kept up as much as they could. They shot themselves in the foot early, again, with stupid penalties, backing themselves up on special teams and all this stuff. Didn't put them in great position. And then they just kind of choked it at the end when they had a chance to win. So go off, Mason. I'm ready for it.
All right. I'll say this about Will Anderson real quick. So I'm a lot more disappointed in Dallas Turner's impact so far this year than I am Will Anderson's. Because if you watch closely on what's happening, everything is going away from Will Anderson. All the run plays mostly. And they're scheming every pass protection to him. Like as great as he is, it's just really hard for a guy to be a double team just about every play that he's going on right now. And with how teams are playing us right now, everything's really quick right now. And when it is stuff downfield, he's getting double teamed. So it's really hard for a guy to go out and dominate a game like he should. And that's why I thought Dallas Turner was going to have an awesome year this year, because you kind of expected it coming in. Everybody was going to try and scheme away from Will Anderson, which is exactly what Tennessee did. And it worked for him. So good for them. I want to start my rant with this. I absolutely hate the reaction after the game from the Alabama fans. This was not on the refs at all. If you're sitting there crying about the refs and that they missed, what, three calls is what I've seen. It was, what, targeting, a pass interference, and 12 men on the field. Refs are going to miss calls. Like, get over it. The fact that we had 17 other penalties is not on the refs. Every single other penalty that they called on us was a good call. Like, everything that they were calling was correct. So you can't really complain about that. The fact that Alabama fans are trying to blame it on the refs is kind of embarrassing. So they need to get over themselves and get that crap out of here. The thing that kind of sucks right now is it doesn't feel like – the past few years have not felt like a normal Alabama team, to where they're extremely disciplined, you're not having this many penalties, and you go on the road and you're still fine. Like, I think today – Will Anderson came out and said that they were a little overwhelmed going into the game, which is something that you don't want to hear coming from your best player. Like, and to me, that's coaching at this point, which I never thought I would say about Nick Saban. It just feels like for the past few years, they've been extremely undisciplined, and you've seen it just about every road game you go into. You have 100 penalties and you don't perform well and you get beat. And at the very beginning of the game, I texted my dad right after the kickoff, the holding on the first kickoff. I said, here we go, 100 penalties, calling it right now. Sure enough, two drives later, we already had six penalties. So it's just frustrating sitting there and having to complain about the same thing over and over and over again. It already happened earlier this year against Texas. It was Auburn last year. It was Texas A&M last year. Like, it's kind of frustrating sitting here talking about we're just not disciplined anymore. So I don't know what has happened between now and 3 years ago, and it's just really frustrating. And the fact that we can't cover anybody to save our lives. I don't know what's happening. I don't know if we're ever going to make a change at DB. And to say all of this, Alabama still had a chance to win. They played horrible, and they still should have won the game. So I don't know what to do. I don't know if I should be complaining right now or what. It's insane. You have a field goal to end the game, or a game-winning field goal with 20 seconds left. You miss it because your dang offense coordinator doesn't know how to run the ball to the middle of the field when our kicker has been kicking to the right the entire season. I mean, what are we doing? We need – okay, that's another one. Get Bill O'Brien out of here. Good Lord. The thing that's worrying me again about next year is if Bill O'Brien and Jalen Milroe – if Jalen Milroe is our quarterback and Bill O'Brien's our offensive coordinator, we're losing 2-3 games next year. I'm calling it out. That's going to be a terrible duo. I'm not looking forward to that.
Feel better. Okay.
Yeah, you know what? I say all this to say – That was a best case scenario loss, unfortunately, because it doesn't knock you out of the West. If you win out, you still control your own destiny. You win out, you're still going to the SEC championship. You win the SEC championship, you're still going to the playoffs. So, and I called it in the offseason.
You
so.
Did call it in the offseason, but you didn't stick to your guns. I think that's the most disappointing thing in all of this is that Mason didn't stick to his guns. Here's what I'm going to say. I have heard Bama fans complain all year about Bill O'Brien. And I'm not sitting here to say you're idiots. I totally understand. It makes sense. Yeah. But at the end of the game and him not running the ball, that's not on Bill O'Brien. At the end of the day, that's all Nick Saban. Nick Saban is the best coach in college football. And you know, and I know, and anybody else knows, he has the power to tell his offensive coordinator what to do at the end of the game. He allows the team to throw the ball. And honestly, if Jahmyr Gibbs doesn't drop that ball, it's a touchdown, you win the game. I mean, and we're not sitting here blaming Bill O'Brien for not running the ball and them, you know, kicking from the right hash and your kicker missing the field goal. We're not sitting here if he catches that ball. That's a player mistake. But at the same time, like, Nick Saban was okay with your offensive coordinator and your offense was comfortable enough. And this is this just shows the change in Nick Saban of he's okay with Bryce Young having the game in his hands, passing the ball, instead of doing what you should have done. Running the ball, taking away Tennessee's timeouts, and at least forcing either overtime or you win the game.
I think that's more of what it is it's more of a trust in Bryce Young. So, like, when you break it down, like, in the past, Alabama's best player has really always been their running back, if we're being honest. Like, it's always been Derrick Henry, Mark Ingram, Trent Richardson, like, XYZ. They've always been able to run the ball and get 5-6 yards. And so, I think looking at it now, you can't really take the ball out of Bryce's hands, which is unfortunate, but you have to. You have to be able to make that call and say, look, Bryce, you might be the best player in college football right now, but it's best that we run the ball. I know we want to trust you that you're going to be able to make an insane play and convert this 3rd and 10 and get us just that much closer, but it's a smarter play right now for us to actually run the ball. So I agree with what you're saying. Like, that's got to be on Nick. He's got to be able to make that call.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of goes back to what we talked about a little bit last week in that, hey, we finally saw the running game come around. But as soon as Bryce comes in, like, the running game is going to not disappear, but, like, y'all aren't going to force the rock to if Bryce's best player, Jahmyr Gibbs, is 1B right now. I mean, he's that good. You're basically taking the ball out of his hands to be a running back. And, oh, hey, Bryce is here. We're going to throw the ball over the yard. And the thing that I think was a little surprising to me was, yes, you're Alabama, you have Bryce Young, but you played Tennessee's game. You made the game into a track meet. And that's what Tennessee is okay doing. Like, they don't care about time of possession. They don't care about that. And you were somewhat forced to do that because you dug yourself in a hole. And that's because of self-inflicted wounds. But you came back, and then you still wanted to keep playing that game of, hey, we're going to pass the ball. And it kind of bit you. And you know, Tennessee had their droughts in the second half. I mean, they had a drought in the third quarter when they only scored 6 points. And so you had your chance. And then, as honestly, as soon as Dallas Turner picked up that ball and scored a touchdown, I was like, oh, that's the game. Bama wins.
And it should have been over.
Tennessee, give credit to Tennessee's defense. They got the stops they needed. They did what they needed to do to give the ball back to their offense. And Hendon Hooker for Heisman drove him down the field to kick a game in favorable. I'm going to be honest. I honestly thought that kick was blocked with how it went. Like, I don't know how that even happened.
I thought it was too.
But
because it was
I've never seen that happen before. And one, a couple other things before I ask a couple more questions here. Like, it is so refreshing to hear you not wanting to blame the refs. It's so refreshing to be embarrassed by that. Like, it is absolutely like mind-boggling to me. I mean, I don't know if it's mind-boggling. I've been in the South. I've been in Alabama for a long time.
No. It's mind-boggling. Mind-boggling for sure.
It seems like almost any time Alabama loses, you always have those fans. And I think, honestly, it's really a majority of fans. There's not a ton of level-headed fans out there. But you hear them blame the refs for literally everything. You got beat. If you leave it up to the hands of the refs, you're going to get beat. And you deserve to lose. And, like, let's not talk about the 12 men on the field. Let's not talk about the pass interference. You got lucky on a third down or fourth down call that they called pass interference on Tennessee in the red zone there, which literally could have either been a no call or pass interference on both guys. Like, you got your, like, the refs were bad on both sides. Like, they were bad on both sides. It wasn't all on Alabama. It wasn't all on Tennessee. They were bad on both jobs. Refs are horrible at their jobs in college, in the NFL, in high school, in middle school football. They're all bad. So, like, let's not sit here and blame the refs for this, because you gave up 52 points. Your defense couldn't cover one guy because they gave matchups and your safeties can't cover for crap. So, like, you got beat. And you know what? Like you said, they're set up still. They control their own destiny to possibly have a rematch. I think Tennessee's going to run the table. I think they beat Georgia because I think they're that talented. And you have the chance of, hey, let's see if they can do it twice in Atlanta.
And I mean, honestly, I feel like if they play this game in Alabama, I think, or not in Alabama, in Atlanta, I think Alabama wins. And that's just because this game felt so much different than it has in the past. Like, this literally felt like this was Tennessee's Super Bowl this year, and they were coming out of this game no matter what. And Alabama just wasn't ready for it.
Yeah, it's surprising.
Back to coaching. Yeah. Like, how are you not prepared for this game? Like, you might have had the right game plan going into it, but, like, mentally, you have to know that the crowd is going to be insane in Neyland Stadium for this game because of the importance that it meant for Tennessee this year, because they had to get through Alabama or it just wasn't going to happen again.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, and it's been 15 years, so this place was going to be rocking.
Yeah, I mean, and again, we're talking about Nick Saban coach teams in the past. Nick Saban coach teams in the past, they might lose this game, but it doesn't go the way that it just did. Like, you don't get in a 14-0 or 21-7 hole in the first quarter. Like, that doesn't happen. Yeah. And is Nick losing his touch? I don't know. We'll see. I mean, it's still a great team. It's honestly, and it is like, and I don't want this to sound like a shot, though a lot of you are probably going to take it that way. It is a lot easier to win and to mask your deficiencies when you have 5-star players at every single position. It makes it a lot.
No, I agree.
But when you play teams that are maybe not as talented as in a ranking perspective, but as a super solid team like Tennessee that is well coached and knows how to take advantage of weaknesses, and maybe you have an older coach that might be slipping a little bit, this is what happens. And again, like, it's not a cool, like, to me, it's not a coincidence for the past couple of years that Alabama has had as many penalties and has been undisciplined as they have. Like, to me, it's not a coincidence. This is starting to be a pattern. And I, like, you just got to ask the question, like, obviously he's not going to retire this year. He's probably not going to retire next year, but, like, it's got to be soon because it does seem like a little bit of slippage. And you know what? They might still go on and win out and still go and win the national championship. That still might happen. And again, that's because of the talent that's on the roster. But, like, the question still stands. You can still go win the national championship and be getting 15 penalties a game. Like, it can still happen. And that's a problem.
Yeah, and so the way I've been looking at it is like I don't feel like he's losing his touch per se, but it just feels like he's trying to work with people's feelings almost. Like, it's hard to explain, but like exactly like two years ago, Nick Saban's yelling all over the field. Like, it doesn't matter who he's chewing out. Like, he's going after everybody. And now it's like he doesn't want to hurt feelings because he doesn't want guys to enter the transfer portal. He doesn't want guys to do X, Y, Z. Like, so it feels like he's trying to change when he necessarily should be probably just sticking with his bread and butter, honestly. So I don't want to say that. Your guess is as good as mine. I mean, good Lord. You have everybody getting burned and torched all over the field. You can't even put Eli Ricks in for one play. I mean, good Lord.
Oh, man.
I don't get me started.
All right. I think that's enough. Is there anything else you want to talk about? How do you feel about, okay, let me ask you two questions. How do you feel about the field storming thing? How do you feel about it?
I mean,
because like, I don't know what it is. Like, I just like, again, it's just like this part of the fan base that just like just can't just let teams have their day. Like, they always have to come up with this, oh, well, you know what? It's just like Saturday to us and we win. But when you guys win, it's like the best thing in the world. And like, you know, we're just so much ippity and uppity and better than you guys and all this stuff. Like let them have their day. Like, it's literally college football. That's what makes this fun, is this kind of stuff. Yeah. So like, I just don't get it. Like, I know you don't lose very often.
Be mad about,
okay, you lost. Let them have their day.
If you're gonna be mad about them rushing the field, like, you gotta step back a little bit and just take a deep breath. Like, they're having a good time. It's whatever.
Listen, let
like,
them throw the L field goal post in the river. Like, let them do it and like just let them have their day.
You see, they started a GoFundMe for that.
I did see it. I think it's hilarious. Okay, last question, and this is more kind of an outlook thing as a Bama fan. After this game, how do you feel about the rest of the games on the schedule? Again, you got Mississippi State coming in this week. And then after that, you get your bye week. And then another road game in Death Valley, which from what I've been seeing, more than likely a night game, going on the road to Baton Rouge. And then you go on the road to Ole Miss. And then you have your two easy layups with Austin Peay and Auburn. So what's the outlook look now after this game on, you know, could have lost. And if Quinn Ewers is still playing at Texas, you probably lose against Texas. You didn't and were 5 yards away or 3 yards away from losing to A&M. Finally catches up to you at Tennessee and lose. And now you got a pretty rough three-game stretch with two of them being on the road.
Yeah, my thing is I don't really see an offense on the rest of the schedule that's going to be able to keep up with ours. And I don't necessarily see a defense. Like, I would probably say LSU probably has the best defense that we're going to face for the rest of the season. And even that, I don't know if LSU is going to be able to put up a 40 burger to keep up
with Jaden Daniels is going to show up.
Exactly. I mean, it's hit or miss. But the reason I'm okay, I feel fine about the rest of the season is because of what happened last year. Like, you take the L at Texas A&M, and then it's almost like they needed to take the L to get their mind right. It's like they almost ate up too much of the rat poisoning, to use a Nick Saban term. They eat up everything in the press, and they put themselves on their high horse, and they think that it's just going to be easy for the rest of the season, and everybody's just going to roll over because they're Alabama. And now you take the L, you get punched in the mouth, and now it's about how you respond. And from last year, they responded really well, and they were able to make the run. I still think they should have won the national championship if either one of the freaking wide receivers stayed healthy. So I still think, like, we're going to be fine moving forward in the season. I'm worried about Ohio State. I think Ohio State can definitely beat us. I mean, Tennessee just showed that they can beat you. So if you face them in the SEC championship, you can't take that game lightly. And then Georgia's still Georgia. So, like, I think those three teams would be three teams that I would be worried about. But for the rest of the teams on the schedule, I'm not going to be overly worried about it.
Okay, yeah, I get that, and I think this is just a perfect segment into going into week two of the Down to the Wire top 25 rankings. Because I mean, you just talked about. I mean, we can talk about the teams at the top. We have movement, lots of movement here in the poll this week. We have a new team on top, and that's Tennessee after their win against Alabama at home. They got bumped up, I believe, from six all the way up to number one. They only got one first place vote. We got four voters this week, including Mason and I. So four of us voted for these rankings. And again, like I said in the open, hey, give us, if you can be involved in any way, this is the way that I think we would rather you be involved. Give us your top 25. If you can't think of 25 teams, don't want to rank all those, just give us your top 10, and that would be great. So moving on again, Tennessee gets to the number one spot last week. They were actually at four last week. So they moved up three spots to number one, getting one first place vote with 97 votes overall. At the number two spot, we got Ohio State. They moved down one. They did get two first place votes, but they had a couple other people that ranked them a bit lower, which made them not have the number one spot. They had 95 points there. Number three is Georgia with 92 points. They also got the other first place vote. So those four votes that we had, first place split between those three. Michigan at number four. They move up from six to four. They jump Clemson. Clemson stays at five after their win against Florida State. And then we have Alabama falling from number two all the way down to six in the vote in the poll here for us. At number seven, we have TCU. Number eight, Ole Miss moving up in the world from 10. At number nine, we have UCLA. And then rounding out the top 10, we have another Pac-12 team in Oregon. So impressions on our top 10 so far, Mason, in week seven.
Yeah, I had Ohio State number one. I still feel like they're the best team in college football right now. TCU at seven, that feels crazy. Imagine telling us that at the beginning of the year. We're going to have TCU ranked
at seven. Yeah, I mean, they had a huge jump up this week. They were ranked and tied at 13 with Oregon last week. And after winning at home against Oklahoma State, they basically take Oklahoma State's spot and they move all the way up to seven. Yeah.
Yeah, so I would definitely say TCU being at seven is kind of a shock to me, but I kind of like what they're doing. I mean, it's hard to say they haven't played anybody because they've already played Oklahoma. They beat Kansas. Like, I don't know. I don't know if I'm truly a believer in TCU yet, so we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see for sure. I mean, they're undefeated in the Big 12, which I think they're the only undefeated team left in the Big 12, I think, is TCU. So I guess the Big 12 got to hope that they keep it up, or that Oklahoma State can round off to get a playoff team. Out of the top six, so again, probably for you, looking at top five, so the teams that we talked about, Clemson, Michigan, Georgia, Ohio State, Tennessee, you kind of already talked about it with Alabama. Are there any of those teams that you would see in the top five that you would say, oh, Alabama definitely beats?
I mean,
probably
Clemson and Michigan.
I would lean Michigan.
I think Clemson and Michigan. You think Michigan too?
I think Michigan too at this point, because I don't think Michigan has enough of a pass offense to be able to beat a team like an Alabama. But their defense is really good.
Yeah, I agree. I would say either Clemson or Michigan. Like, either one of them to me. But I mean, like I was saying earlier, Alabama played their worst game of the season and still should have beaten Tennessee.
Yeah, I mean,
so if that's a neutral... If that's a neutral field, then I'm not feeling bad about it, if we're being honest. Like, it is what it is. And then with Georgia, like, they haven't shown anything, any type of firepower on offense other than they're tied in. So can you count on their defense being able to stop Bryce Young from putting up 35? I don't know.
Yeah.
The only one I would be worried about is Ohio State, genuinely.
Okay. Interesting.
And
interesting.
I've been to Ohio State for a while. You have, which been. Is unfortunate.
Is it weird? Do you feel like you need to like get some soap in your mouth or something? Or
I just love CJ Stroud. Dude. He's so much fun.
Okay, let's go ahead and finish out the top 25 for us. At number 11, we have Wake Forest. 12, we have Oklahoma State. We have Oklahoma State lost last week to TCU, so that's our one of our losses there. Another team that slid down a good bit was USC after losing to Utah. They slip all the way down to 13. Syracuse stays unbeaten. They move up to 14. Penn State, after getting drugged by Michigan, they're at number 15 this week. Kansas State at 16. Texas at 17. Utah, after the win, they move up to 18. Kentucky is at 19. Illinois at 20. North Carolina at 21. And then we have a couple of ties here to finish out. So we have tied at 22nd with Mississippi State and Cincinnati. And then tied at 24, we have NC State, and LSU makes it into the top 25 for us at tied at 24. And then other teams that received votes that were just short, again, the tied at 24, those were 9 votes each for LSU and NC State. And so we have 3 other teams that received votes that were left off. Kansas and UCF were left off. Both of them only had 2 votes. And then Tulane was also left off, and they had a vote. So out of the top 25 here, again, we kind of talked about a little bit, or you mentioned a little bit. I am not a big Ole Miss believer this year. I think in my poll, I don't even know. I think I had them at maybe number 10, maybe even lower than that, dude. What did I have them at? I had them at, I had them at 11, dude. I still had Oklahoma State ranked ahead of Ole Miss. They haven't had a great, they haven't had tons of competition. I mean, you beat not a great Kentucky team that can't run the ball and can't protect, and you didn't score a lot. And then you beat a bad Auburn team, but you gave up over 34 to a bad Auburn offense. I mean, I know you ran all over them, but I mean, I'm just not super impressed. We're playing LSU this week. LSU isn't the best, so don't hear me saying that LSU is the best team ever and we're going to win and go undefeated the rest of the way. But I think this will be a good litmus test for how good they actually are before they get into more meat of their schedule, where they play like Alabama and Texas A&M, which isn't great, but they're better than Auburn and, to me, maybe better than Kentucky and all this. So to me, Ole Miss is a wait and see. I dropped Penn State super far in mind. I had Penn State, they were 9 last week. I had them drop 10 spots. I ranked them at 19 this week because of how bad they looked. I had them drop a freaking rock, dude. I came close to being maybe after 20. I came this close to bringing them even further, because I mean, that's just embarrassing to me how you freaking come out like that. So those were really kind of my two that really had big movement for me, were those two. And then I actually was the one that voted for UCF to be in the top 25. Nobody else did. So that was the one difference than everybody else. But again, not a huge believer in Ole Miss, but we'll see this week, I think. And then Penn State, you better get it right, or else you're going to be out of my top 25 real soon.
Okay. So my thing with Ole Miss, to me, it's really hard to go undefeated in the SEC. And so far they have no losses. So looking at that, I feel like they kind of need to be in the top 10. So I have them, I'll pull mine up real quick too. I have Ole Miss at 7. Maybe it's a little high.
You have a miss where we haven't ranked generally. So you're just one off then overall.
But, I mean, going undefeated in the SEC is hard. But also, if you want to compare them, you brought up Oklahoma State. Who would you say is Oklahoma State's best win? If you want to pull that up real quick, to me, I think if you throw Kentucky out there and say pound for pound, I would say Kentucky's probably going to be a better win against anybody that Oklahoma State has played this year. Because it was a hurt Texas Tech team, if I remember correctly. They played backup quarterback. And then
played and beaten so far was on the road at Baylor.
Exactly.
Honestly, I would pick Baylor over Kentucky. I would pick Baylor over Kentucky. What? I would. I know Baylor has 3 losses, okay? But
we got to talk about your Baylor obsession.
I'm going to say this. Is it harder for Ole Miss to beat Kentucky at home, or is it harder for Oklahoma State to go on the road and beat Baylor? Because I think that's the difference here. If you're going to have Baylor go on the road to Baylor, I think that's a lot harder of a game than hosting Kentucky at home. I just think it is. And listen, Baylor, again, has 3 losses. I understand. But your record isn't always you're not good because you have 3 losses. If Baylor and Kentucky play on a neutral field, I'm picking Baylor 9 times out of 10 over Kentucky. I'm not a Kentucky believer. And the reason why is their offensive line isn't very good and their defense is okay? That's just my thoughts, okay? And that makes you think, okay, now what I think about Mississippi State, because they got ridiculously outplayed and just destroyed. That's just my opinion. You don't have to agree, but I'm just not the biggest Kentucky guy. But like, I get.
Okay,
I get,
well, we're definitely not going to agree on this one.
I get your point, though. I get your point of it's harder to win the SEC. If you think Kentucky is better than Baylor, I can see why you say that. But again, you can say all you want about the SEC and it's hard to win. There are other two SEC games, Vanderbilt, Auburn. Trash.
Superstar Vanderbilt.
Okay?
Come on.
Superstar Vanderbilt. Just like complete trash. Okay. Just whatever. So like, I don't know. I just, we'll find out this week to me against Ole Miss. But
okay. We'll see.
Okay. Any other thoughts on anybody else in our poll, Mason?
North Carolina climbing.
They're climbing.
We got to get Texas higher too. 17.
I had Texas a lot higher.
That's a little bit.
Where did I have Texas? I have Texas at 13 in mind, dude. I have Texas all.
So I had them at 15. I have them at 15, and that feels like a little bit of a mistake. So that might be my fault that Texas is.
No, it wasn't.
Low.
It was.
They'll definitely be higher.
I will say I am the only one that sees all the votes. I probably need to include you in these so you can see all of them, but. One of our other pollsters had Texas at 20. So that's what I think had them.
That's what they had.
That's who kind of made them drop there was that somebody had them at 20, I believe. And then let me actually double check on that for you. Another one had them at 18 and then one had them at 20. So those two kind of had them with me having about 13 was the high bit. And then the other two just kind of anchored them down a little bit there. So, but I
would say 14, 15 is probably about right, honestly. Like, but 15, I would say 14, actually. 15 feels bad. 14 feels right.
Yeah, I mean, I for sure think like it's the way that I'm doing my rankings. And again, I was the one that put Tennessee at one. And, you know, you've been a big Ohio State believer. I think, again, we're going back to the resume. We were just talking resume between Oklahoma State and Ole Miss. Go look at the resume for Tennessee and Ohio State. Okay, Tennessee has three really good wins that are way better than Ohio State's win against Notre Dame, which, by the way, Notre Dame lost against, at home, at the time, a one-win Stanford team. Okay, here's your weekly pot shot at Notre Dame. You trash, you lose to freaking Stanford. They're horrible, okay? So Ohio State's best win is a home win against Notre Dame. Tennessee, on the other hand, has wins against on the road at Pitt, which Pitt doesn't look as good now, but at the time they were really good. Keen Slovis was playing good. Defense was playing good. They went on the road and won that one. They played Florida, which is better than any other team that I think Florida is probably better than Notre Dame. Would you agree with that?
Yeah.
So you beat Florida at home, and then you just beat, at the time for our rankings, number two, Alabama. Their resume, their strength of schedule is way better than Ohio State. And for that, that's the reason why I picked them number one. And honestly, I would, if it's a neutral site at this point, from what I've seen, again, I haven't watched a lot of Ohio State because I haven't played anybody. But at this point, I would pick Tennessee slightly over Ohio State, but it's basically a pick 'em to me. And so whenever it's that close to me, I'm like, okay, Tennessee's resume is better. I'm going to go Tennessee there. And then after that, I have Georgia. Did I have Georgia? Let me look at my poll real quick. Again, we have Georgia ranked at three. But for me, I think I had Georgia at three. No, I had Georgia at four. So I actually had Michigan State above Georgia. Or not Michigan State. I had Michigan above Georgia in my poll this week. And I think the reason why was because of just how impressive of a beatdown Michigan had against Penn State, to me, is what gave me the jump over Michigan or over Georgia there. And then I left Clemson at five. So the big movers for me, again, were Tennessee and Michigan. And again, you just heard my reasoning there. All the other teams, again, I think a lot of Wake Forest. I think Wake Forest is a top 10 team. They went down. I had Wake Forest ranked at eight in my poll. I think that highly of them because they came this close to beating a really good Clemson team. And then again, I think a lot of Texas, probably not a lot of people, other people do. So those are my final thoughts on the poll.
We both really like Sam Hartman.
We do like Sam Hartman.
He's our guy.
Hey,
he's one of our guys.
Speaking of Sam Hartman, let's get into fantasy this week. Let me down easy, Mason. All right. How did it go last week in fantasy?
So 2 weeks ago, you put a beat down on me. I felt pretty bad about myself. Coming into this week, or so last week you tied it up. Not yet have you been able to take the lead on me, because I came in this week and pounded you, put up the highest score so far yet in all of our weeks. I put up 117 and to your 63. So I regained the lead. I'm planning on not giving it up this week. Jahmyr Gibbs and Chris Rodriguez carried me on their back, saved me, did their thing.
Listen, you're just so lucky. Coming into this week, just lucky that I picked the wrong Tennessee wide receiver for my flex last week. Okay, I freaking picked Brew McCoy instead of Jalen Hyatt for some reason. I don't know what I was thinking. But, oh, dude, if I had...
You just like the brew.
I did. That's honestly, I think that's really kind of what got me over the top to pick
it him. It was stuck in your head. From the L really game. Was. It was. In your head.
It was, unfortunately.
Shout out to them.
All right, Mason. So go ahead. Since you won, you get first pick this week. And again, for the people, we are doing fantasy PPR league. Can't pick the same player twice in the same season. So you get one pick with them and you're done. Can't be on the same team as another player that you're picking. So no two Alabama players, no two LSU players. Have to be playing Power 5 competition. So, Mason, with that said, you get to pick first. What's your lineup for this week?
Yeah, so I'm really hoping to be able to kind of take a solid lead on you, kind of put you on your toes, get you thinking twice about yourself. So quarterback this week, I have to go with my guy, Bryce Young. It's Mississippi State. Offense is what it is. Hopefully Bryce Young will put on a performance of a lifetime for me. Running back, I'm going with Israel Abatakanda. I really don't know how to say his last name, so that was the best I could do for you. Pittsburgh's running back. Wide receiver, I'm going with Emeka Ibuka. I don't know how to say his last name either. I guess I'm just going with the tough names this week. Wide receiver from Ohio State. And tight end, I'm going with the guy that you stole from me last week. I'm going with Jatavion Sanders. Hopefully, Quinn Ewers will toss him a couple tutties. In my flex, I'm going with Deuce Vaughn. So I'm going running back heavy again this week.
Running back heavy, I hear you. All right, well, listen, I got to get back in the win column, okay? I was pretty confident last week. And then, like, it was just one of those weeks where, like, you know what? A blind squirrel finds food every once in a while. You know, a clock is right twice a day. You freaking destroy me with your stupid running back picks over here. So I'm coming back with a vengeance, Mason, okay? So my quarterback, we talked about him before we really got started here, Sam Hartman from Wake Forest. He's my quarterback this week. He's going to go off and score, like, 40 points for me this week, going up against Boston College. I'm running back. I'm going with Kendre Miller from TCU. Listen, he scored a touchdown every week so far this season. He's going to score another one probably for me this week. At wide receiver, I'm going back over on the west coast of Washington. I'm picking Rome Odunze. I don't know. I'm not going to try again. I feel like I'm just going to embarrass
these names this week.
I think I'm just going to embarrass myself even further if I keep trying to pronounce his name. But that guy over at Washington, the wide receiver over there, maybe we should come up with a rule for next year that we have to be able to pronounce their names if we're going to pick them. Otherwise, because if we might not, because otherwise it's going to be really hard to do. But tight end, I'll go with Davis Allen from Clemson. And then at my flex, I'm also going running back heavy. I'm going Devin Achane, which is Texas A&M's only offensive weapon. Devin Achane, flex. Coming back, going to tie it back up so then I can take the lead the next week. It's coming, Mason. It's coming.
I don't know, Cam. You say that just about every other week right now. I'm trying to get my two-game lead back. Trying to keep my foot on the pedal for this week.
Listen, it didn't go well for me in fantasy last week. It also didn't go well for me at all in our picks last week, Mason. It was a rough one. I got two right. I went 2-9 last week. The two that I got right, though, were my Fighting Tigers, and I got Tennessee right. All the other ones, though, just garbage. It just was a week to forget. You had a pretty good week, though. You went 7-4, though your Bama by 100 didn't age well. So you have a three-game lead on me now. You're 29-25-3 in picks, and I am 26-28-3. So I have some catching up to do. Let's hope that I get it done this week. So we'll get into games for this week. So we're going to start off in the ACC. Again, it's a game that we talked about a little bit that we're going to find out a lot about Syracuse this coming week. Syracuse going on the road to Clemson, and I think we were both surprised by the spread in this one. It's 13.5. A Clemson favorite, 13.5 points against an undefeated Syracuse team, which has a pretty good defense. So what's your pick on this one? Again, picking against the spread, not straight up. What's your pick on Syracuse at Clemson?
So it seems like every week we have the fishy spread from Vegas. And honestly, this one is not passing the sniff test for me. I'm not feeling it for some reason. So I'm going to go with Clemson because Vegas is trying to throw me off. I feel it with that game. Give me
Clemson. Yeah, I've
sniff test not
approved. Yeah, I think I'm over picking against Clemson at this point because I feel like it didn't work out for me last week, and I'm pretty sure I didn't pick them whenever they played NC State either. So I'm going to go Clemson as well. Again, that's a line, but like you said, it's a fishy line, man. It's 13.5 points is a line, but I can see him covering because I don't think Syracuse is they're a good team.
It's at home too.
I mean, you're going to Syracuse on the road. That's a tough place to play, man. All right, let's move on to the Big 12. Two teams that seem to be falling from grace. Our beloved Kansas Jayhawks are going on the road to a team that I like in Baylor. And that apparently you hate, so it's okay. Baylor is an 8-point favorite. Again, this is, again, another fishy line here. Baylor -8. They're the home favorite against Kansas. What's your thoughts on this one?
I hate what has happened to Kansas. It makes me want to cry. But I hate Baylor also. I do not have any love for Baylor. Just tugging at my heartstrings. I'm going to go with Baylor.
You're not going to go with the emotional one with Kansas, are you? That's kind of one that I was hoping on.
I'm gonna pick with my head.
I'm going Baylor.
I'm going to pick with my head.
Going with his head. He's going Baylor.
And look, this is a win-win for me. If Baylor wins, obviously I get the win. if they cover, then we're good. But if they lose, it gives me another reason to hate.
Kansas is bowl eligible, man.
Mm-hmm. They're bowl eligible. It gives me another chance to hate on Baylor. Okay, yeah, I'm definitely going Baylor. Give me the win-win.
I'm going Baylor as well. I think I have to pick them because of what I just said. So I'm going Baylor as well. All right. SEC night game. And it's one we've been talking about. Ole Miss going on the road to Death Valley against LSU. This game opened, Mason, as Ole Miss as a 2 or 2.5 point favorite. It's already moved. And now LSU is a 1.5 point favorite at home. Basically a pick 'em at this point. What's the pick on Ole Miss at LSU?
If this game's at Ole Miss, I'm definitely going with Ole Miss. But I think this is going to be one of LSU's sneaky games, so I'm going to go with LSU.
But Mason, Ole Miss. It's Ole Miss. Yeah. I'm right there with you, man. Okay, we didn't get it done against Tennessee, all right? We're getting it done against Ole Miss. We're doing it. We're on a roll. If we get the performance like we got.
In prime time, baby.
Let's go. Prime time, finally. All right, listen, if we get the Jane Daniels performance like we did last week, it's a dub, all right? No questions asked, but that's really the question. But Ole Miss's defense isn't that great. I'm confident. I'm going LSU with the win, going into the bye week, and then, hey, maybe it's a game for the West against Alabama the week after. We'll see. But going Ole Miss, or LSU, let's go. Ole Miss, get out of here, kick rocks. All right. This is a huge game, Mason. UCLA at Oregon. Huge playoff and Pac-12 implications here. Seems like maybe UCLA is the last hope of the Pac-12, maybe for a playoff berth here with how everything seems to be shaping out. What's your thoughts on this? Oregon is a 6-point home favorite against UCLA at home, and they seem to be doing a lot better since they got blown out on national television against Georgia.
Yeah, they've actually looked pretty good since that game. I've still been trying to call my Bo Nix game. I think I'm going to lay my flag on it this week. So give me Oregon.
Go on, Oregon. Hey, you didn't want to be bold and pick him as your quarterback? Come on. You weren't fully dedicated on it, Mason.
I'm not quite there yet.
Listen, I think 6 points is way too many. And I honestly think, like UCLA, I like UCLA to win. But at the very minimum, I think they're going to cover. I'm going UCLA. And listen, at this point, I can't keep picking the same team as you either in these games because I've got to gain some ground here. So I'm going UCLA, all right?
Fair.
All right, we're going off to another huge matchup this time. It's in the Big 12. Texas going on the road to Oklahoma State. And this is a little surprising to me, too. I mean, a lot of surprising lines to me this week. Texas is a six-point favorite on the road against Oklahoma State. We're both Texas believers, but Oklahoma State is no slouch. So give me your pick on Oklahoma State, Texas.
Yeah, Texas has really shown the ability to get up for the big games and perform perform at a high level for the big teams that they're playing against. And going to Oklahoma State is not going to be easy. So I expect Texas to come out and do the same thing that they've been doing, which is balling out with Quinn Ewers. So give me Texas.
One Texas. Okay. Yeah, I'm there with you. I think Texas is going to win the game for sure. I don't think they'll cover the six, though. I think six is too many because Oklahoma State, with how they play, it seems like if they lose, it's going to be super close like it was last week. So I'm going to go Oklahoma State to cover the six, but I like Texas to win. So that's my pick here. So I'm going Okie Light there. All right. All right. This is kind of an SEC game that I kind of pulled out of thin air for us to pick, but I thought it would be fun because the line was kind of close. So we're going Texas 8-4, going on the road to South Carolina here. Okay. Two not very good football teams. All right. Texas 8-4 is a 4-point favorite on the road against South Carolina. What's your thoughts on this one?
This is a gross game. Absolutely gross.
Yeah, it is.
I'll never forget you trying to convince me that Spencer Rattler was going to be good for South Carolina. I'll never let you live that one down, Cam. I'll never let it
happen.
Listen,
okay, I understand. Yes. Okay, I'll take that one. I'll take that one.
I'm just going to go with Texas A&M. Why not? Keep hating on Spencer
just
Rattler.
Keep hating on Spencer Rattler. I really want to keep hating on Texas A&M, dude. I really want to. I really want to hit on them and make them be Texas 7-5, but... I think I have to go with them too. I think they'll be able to run the ball at will, and I hope they do because I need Devin Achane to go off for me in fantasy. So I'm going to Texas.
I think this is your first time picking them all year.
I think it is too. Yeah, I'm going.
This will definitely be a loss then.
It's really unfortunate. I feel dirty picking them. Honestly, I really do. I really don't like picking them, but. Sometimes you do what you got to do, and I can't keep digging myself a hole in these picks, so I'm going Texas 8-4. All right, so here's another one. Mississippi State. I don't know who they freaking are. Mississippi State going on the road to Alabama, and Bama, after losing as a 9-point favorite, by the way, against Tennessee, had to get a little jab in there, losing as a 9-point favorite, they are now a 21-point home favorite against the Bulldogs of Mississippi State. And nobody freaking knows what Mississippi State team is going to come. So what's your pick on this one, Mason?
Well, I feel like I can't say it with as much enthusiasm as I did last week, but give me Bama by 100 per usual.
Yeah, I already called it earlier in the podcast. I'm going Alabama too. Mississippi State seems to just be absolute trash on the road. And I think Alabama is, again, a get right game. And I think this is a game where Will Anderson is finally going to go off and get some sacks here on Will Rogers. I like Alabama as well to cover the 21, which, again, is a super high for this being a top 20 matchup, whatever it is. That's a crazy, point spread, but I'm going with it. I think Alabama wins by a lot against Mississippi State this weekend. And the last game on our pick'em slate, it's another Big 12 game. Again, the Big 12 is just so freaking entertaining this year, man. If you haven't watched any much Big 12 football, you need to go watch it because all these teams are really similar and the games are really great. And these are two of the top teams right now in the conference. Kansas State going on the road to TCU. TCU, I think, is the only undefeated team in the Big 12 left. And they're a 3.5-point home favorite against the Wildcats of Kansas State. So what's your pick here, Mason?
I'm going to ride the wave and go with TCU. They've been hot lately. I think they keep it up against Kansas State.
Yeah, I like TCU as well. I think their offense is just crazy, and I like their quarterback better than I like Adrian Martinez at Kansas State. So I'm going TCU as well to win and cover at home to stay undefeated, man. I like TCU. And listen, looking at TCU's schedule, if they win this one, who do they have left? Let's take a look here at the schedule. So after Kansas State, listen, it's not a bad schedule to finish out, man. They have Kansas State this week. They go on the road to West Virginia. They host Texas Tech. They go on the road to Texas. They go on the road to Baylor, and then they host Iowa State. So not a super tough schedule. They have really one game that you're like, okay, that's a real big problem. The rest of them are pretty winnable, man, if they can get out of this one. So watch out for TCU. With the Horned Frogs. Let's go, dude. Horned Frogs. All right. So listen, guys, thank you so much for listening. And hey, if you're on YouTube, thanks for watching. We appreciate you. Mason, we got basketball coming up tomorrow. We're recording this on Monday for the first time this year because, listen, you got to be able to watch your Celtics game one. You're like a freaking kid on Christmas Eve over here.
You weren't going to be able to drag me away from my Celtics on the game, on first game of the season. So I had to switch it up.
Got some NBA action coming up. And hey, we're going to have an NBA podcast come out for you probably this coming weekend. So we got Mason, again, our NBA expert here on Down to the Wire. It's going to give us his tier list. And we're going to talk some NBA thoughts. And again, the Celtics are already be playing a game or two. And so we'll get his thoughts on how the Seas are doing. So be on the lookout for that episode coming out this weekend. But again, thank you guys so much for listening. And we will catch you on the next one. Peace.